Well, praise God. You can see I got another original title here today. It's okay, right? You can handle another one? I mean, God, I guess he knows what he's doing. He's got a plan here. I'm going to put up a scripture here from John 13, verse 1. And I'm going to read it from the Message translation. John 13 is the beginning of Jesus is at the Last Supper. And so 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, those chapters are he's with his disciples for the Last Supper. So John 13, verse 1, Message says, just before the Passover feast, Jesus knew that the time had come to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his dear companions, he continued to love them right to the end. And so the Last Supper was all about love for the disciples. He's about to go to the cross. This is a special time together. I don't know if they had a love feast that we had, but it could be something like that. I mean, just a meal together. This is the meal where John was resting on Jesus' chest, you know, just an intimate time, and they're sharing a meal. I mean, obviously, Jesus, heavy on his heart. This is it. I mean, his last time with the disciples. And so we start off in John 13. Jesus washes the feet of the disciples. And that is very unusual for someone of his stature, a rabbi, to do that for people. What they would do is when they were going to a gathering like this, they would get cleaned up, and then they would come, and then, of course, you know, they don't have, you know, the cars and things like we have, and so their feet are dirty, and so what do? The servants wash their feet. But the disciples weren't among a certain class, didn't have servants to wash feet. And so they would have to do it themselves or, you know. And so Jesus takes the time to wash the disciples' feet. I mean, it was an act of love. It was an act of service. It was an act of humbling himself. And, I mean, what an example of love. So he serves them. Of course, he talks in these verses about loving each other. He said that this was the sign of a disciple, was their love one for another. He talks about going to heaven. I'm talking about these different chapters. He's talking about going to heaven and mansions. He's talking about greater works than these you shall do. So he's teaching, he's training, he's sharing, he's encouraging. He talks about the Holy Spirit and the importance in their lives. Then in John 15, it's the great passage about Jesus being the true vine and about bearing fruit for the kingdom. He talks about his great love for them. This is where it says, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for his friends. John 16, he continues to talk about the Holy Spirit, and it says, it's to your advantage that I go away. So a lot of things he's saying, they're not really understanding. They won't until later. But he says, if I go away, I will send another comforter. He teaches them about prayer, about asking the Father for what they need in his name. So all these different things are happening at the Last Supper. Then we come to John 17. And in John 17, Jesus prays four things for his disciples. And it's really amazing because he's about to go to the cross. And he can read about what that's like in Psalms and other parts of the Old Testament. He knows what he's facing. And, you know, a normal, ordinary person would not be praying for others at this time. He'd be like preparing himself for, you know, what's going to happen. And so again, it's just amazing, his love and care for the disciples. And in the midst of all this, he prays, and he prays more things, but he prays these four, you know, I want to read about four things that he prayed. He prays that the disciples will not be taken out of the world. That's kind of a strange thing to ask. But he never prayed that they would have escape from the world. He prayed that they may find victory in the midst of the world. You know, we all need times of solitude in the Word, worship, and prayer. But not so we can hide away from the world. It's so we can be empowered to go into the world and change the world. He wanted the disciples to bear fruit. Jesus never desires for us to abandon the world. It's his desire for us to win the world. So he prays that. Then another thing he prays for unity for the disciples. Because where there's division, exclusiveness, and competition, the cause of Christ is frustrated. When those things are evident, things are not going to be done. Fruit's not going to be born. No church that is not unified can fulfill their vision and mission, and certainly can't fulfill the Great Commission. So he prayed that the disciples may be one as Jesus and the Father are one. That's why the enemy so fights people coming together. How much fight is there about our marriages, about relationships? And so certainly, he doesn't want a body of believers to be unified. It's a very challenging thing to do as a leader to bring unity. It's something that I pray all the time in the book of Acts. It talks about one accord. And I pray that and I speak that over this congregation. I've never been a part of a church split. And we've certainly not had that here in all of our 21 years here at Good News Church, and not planning to have it in the next 22 years. But I do know there's a devil, and we got to recognize him, take authority over him. And so as we're praying about unity, it's about, you know, love for each other and care for each other. The dead enemy does not like any of that. Jesus prayed that God would protect his disciples from the attacks of the evil one. God is interested in our protection, our well-being, our deliverance. And you know, Grayson was ministering on trust, and we're singing about the goodness of God. And so many times we try to handle things in our own strength. And there are actions that we have to take. But if we would look to him and receive his empowerment and his help, things would go so much better for us. How many know the things that we have tried do not work, are not successful, and we need his help? And then Jesus prayed that we'd be sanctified by the truth. There's two parts to this. The word sanctified means to consecrate, and we're separated. It means that he's praying that we'll be consecrated for a special task. Each one of us has been given this assignment from God. He's got a plan. He's had a plan for our lives from the foundation of the world. Very few walk in that plan. But he's praying that his disciples will walk in the plan that God, the special task that God has for them. And then the second part is, it means you'll be equipped for that task. He'll provide resources, vision, qualities to carry out the task. So as we talk about love praying, that if we really love people, love our family, love our spouses, love our kids, love our neighbors, love our church family, we're going to pray for them. And we have 21 days of prayer coming up that we're doing corporate prayer. And I just really want to encourage you to participate in this. And don't let this opportunity pass by, because so many times, I mean, just a few participate, and that's great, and I'm happy with that. But I know that God has more. We'll help you And we learn to pray by praying with other people. And we'll help you learn how to pray. Just being in that atmosphere. But what can God do in the next 21 days? What can God do in our bodies, our finances, in our emotions, in our relationships, in our businesses? He wants to do supernatural things. But we've got to work with Him. And I think just so many times, we're just trying to do it all on our own. And so we're striving. And then two, while we're doing that, we're burning ourselves out. There's just not a grace to do things. And so come get empowered. Come and get wisdom. Come get revelation. And then let's pray for each other. You know, I don't think any of us are called to be a martyr for Jesus. So how can we lay down our lives for our friends? We can do that in prayer. I mean, that is a way that we can care for each other, help each other. Now, the amazing thing about Jesus is not only at the Last Supper were His disciples in His heart, but His disciples in the world were in His heart when He went to the cross. Even on the cross, He's, Father, forgive them. You know, He's praying. Then when He ascends into hell and defeats the devil, we're with Him there. We're in His heart. And then when He ascends into heaven, the Bible says we're seated with Him in heavenly places. And so He's not stopped interceding for us. Let's look over in Romans 8. And there's a verse in here you can kind of miss because there's so many good things in these verses. Romans 8, starting in verse 31. It says, "What then shall we say to all this?" I'm reading from the Amplified. "If God is for us, who can be against us?" That's good. Who can be our foe if God is on our side? Turn to your neighbor and say, "God is on your side." "He who did not withhold or spare even His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, will He not also with Him freely and graciously give us all other things?" Cars, other things. And as you go on in life, cars are a low level. "Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? When it is God who justifies, that is, who puts us in right relation to Himself. Who shall come forward and accuse or impeach those whom God has chosen? Will God, who acquits us? Who is there to condemn us? Will Christ Jesus, the Messiah, who died, or rather who was raised from the dead, who is at the right hand of God, actually pleading as He intercedes for us?" So right in this, and I'm going to keep on reading here, but right in the middle of this passage about love, about God's blessings, about God's being on our side, is this verse about Jesus interceding for us. That's part of His ministry of the high priest. Part of His ministry in heaven is interceding for each one of us. Now, He's somebody I want interceding for me. And the amazing thing is, He's on the other side of the cross, all that He's been through. Can you imagine what His prayers are like? I mean, they were good before the cross. But He's now been into hell, defeated the devil, raised up. He's now in heaven. Aren't you curious about what those things he's saying? What is he interceding? What is he saying? Who's at the right hand of God actually pleading as he intercedes for us? Who shall ever separate us from Christ's love? Shall suffering and affliction and tribulation or calamity and distress or persecution or hunger or destitution or peril or the sword? Even as it is written, for thy sake we are put to death all day long. We are regarded and counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet amid all these things, we are more than conquerors. And gain a surpassing victory through him who loved us. For I am persuaded beyond doubt, am sure, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things impending and threatening, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Woo! This is good stuff. Jesus is not condemning us. Jesus is for us. Jesus is not punishing us. He's not in heaven out to get us, looking for us to make mistakes. He's there to help. He's a better prayer on the other side. He loves us so much, he has not stopped interceding for us. Love prays. One translation says, he is appealing to God for us, interceding and pleading for us. The Message translation says, he is in the very presence of God, sticking up for us. The Passion translation says, he is continually, I love this, he is continually praying for our triumph. Right now, Jesus is praying for your triumph. Jesus is praying for your victory. Jesus is praying for you to overcome. He's not just praying for you to get by and barely make it and just scrape along. No, he is praying for you to overcome, to have victory, to have success, to be fruitful, to fulfill the plan that God has. He is good, good. Oh, yeah. Woo! He's good. And when you come to prayer, and you are coming to prayer, when you come to prayer, don't just sleep. Although it is very peaceful. Grayson's got this piano music going, man. Some of you need to get into your prayers. Look at what James 5, verse 16. And I think this is how Jesus is interceding for us. Because some people, when you're with them praying, you don't know if they're even praying. James 5, verse 16, amplified. Confess to one another, therefore, your faults. Your slips, your false steps, your offenses, your sins. Let's just take a little time to do that right now. We probably need to. And then after all that happens, and pray also for one another, that you may be healed and restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. Now look at this. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man. Do I have a righteous person in the house today? If you're in Christ, you've been made the righteousness of God in Christ. Now turn to your neighbor and say it with an attitude, you are righteous. And then turn to your other neighbor and say, you are so righteous. Not in our own abilities. He's made us righteous. So in this journey, just 21 days, let's have some heartfelt, earnest prayers. And you don't know how to do that? Sit by me again. People don't like sitting by me because I'm too loud. But just get over it. The earnest heart, you got to put some passion into it. It's not like just memorized prayers, confessing the same thing over and over. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. In Acts 2, they prayed together, or Acts 4, maybe it was 2, 4, Acts 4, thanks. Acts 4. There was such dynamic prayer going on, the building shook. Well, that was them. We're in their lineage. I want to see some building shaking. Why not during this 21 days? We didn't have it in the previous ones, but maybe this is the time. What happens if we just got some people together and we just prayed? I mean, really prayed. Let's blow the roof off this place. But when you're in unity and harmony together, some of you need some resurrection life. Now, let's go back to Romans 8 after saying all that. Let's go back to Romans 8 and look at some more prayer verses. Romans 8, verse 26. Romans 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. Now these verses are talking about praying in tongues, praying in the Spirit. And that's an evidence of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And the message is not on that, and we may have one coming up, I don't know. But this would be a good time for you to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. But it's the Spirit of God. It's when you pray in tongues, you're praying in a heavenly language. And the Spirit of God is actually praying through you. Now, I'm just going to throw this out there. If Jesus is interceding in heaven, is it possible, as we're tapping into his intercession when we pray in the Spirit? And the things that he's saying, and the revelation, and his heart, and his passion, How much closer can we get to God than God praying through us? See, He represents us to God in heaven. We represent Him to the world here in the earth. He needs His body to speak the truth. He needs His body to speak out His will. He can't just make it happen because He's God. He's chosen to operate through His body. And so when we yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit, it says we're speaking the will of God. We're praying the prayers of God. We're praying His will. We're praying His heart. We're praying His passion. That's why the enemy has fought the baptism of the Holy Spirit so much, because the enemy knows how powerful this is. Remember Ananias? He's praying. The Lord reveals to him about Paul to go minister to him. He doesn't want to because Paul's got a reputation for killing Christians. But the Spirit of God says to him, This is my servant to reach the Gentiles during a time of prayer. How would you like to be the guy that got Paul baptized in the Holy Spirit? Like, you can take credit for all his ministry. Wesley over here. Hey, Wesley. The day he was born, there was some complications. I'm at home at the exact time receiving communion by myself, just praying. And I receive communion, and then I'm just led to pray in the Spirit. Susie's over there with Carol and Eddie. And I'm not saying it was my prayers, I was the only prayer, but I do know the Lord led me to pray. I prayed in the Spirit, spoke, took authority over the devil. And thank God Wesley's here today. Wesley, you're a special guy. Did you know that? Supernatural birth. Well, you're a pastor. I don't think I was pastoring at the time, was it? When were you born, Wesley? 94, church. I wasn't a pastor until 95. I was a believer. What could, and when we're praying in tongues, it says in Corinthians that, we can ask God for interpretation back for the things we're praying about. He wants us to know. Paul says that we speak mysteries. And you can read different verses about God wanting us to know the mysteries. But even if we didn't know, I just trust the Lord when I'm praying in the Spirit that I'm praying and saying the things He wants me to say. Even if He doesn't reveal anything back to me. How awesome it is. I get to work with God in the earth for His will to be accomplished. But He does bring revelation. He does bring light. One time I was praying in the Spirit. The Lord showed me a move to make with my 401k plan. Netted our family $14,000. That was a good day. Spirit of God knows about everything. But we are really so busy trying to do it on our own. And we don't realize that we're weak in ourselves. Now look at this. Now let's look at verse 28 in light of what I just said here. Verse 28 in the Amplified says this. We are sure to know that God being a partner in their labor... What's he talking about? Our prayer. This is a prayer verse. For the prayers, the interceders. We are assured and know that God being a partner in their labor, all things work together and are fitting into a plan for good for those who love God and are called according to his design and purpose. All things work together for good for those that pray in the Spirit. Pray with the Holy Spirit. That's a good verse to take. We're working together with God. Jesus represents us in heaven. We represent him here. Without our cooperation, Jesus is limited in his intercessory prayer. If Jesus is to pray in the earth today, he must do it through his body. Praying in the Holy Spirit allows Jesus to pray through you the perfect will of God in every matter. Now, after saying all that, now let's look at John 16. John 16, verse 13. Am I encouraging anybody to pray this in the next 21 days? Yes. And we have a whole lot of testimonies. I probably should have some right now, but of people, of what's happened. I mean, some testimonies praying for somebody, you know, on the other side of the world. Sometimes you're in situations you don't have time to pray. Others join with you, pray you through. And it says, praying you through what? To victory. John 16, verse 13. But when he, the Spirit of truth, the truth-giving Spirit comes, he will guide you into all the truth, the whole truth, the full truth. He will not speak on his own message or on his own authority, but he will tell whatever he hears from the Father. He will give the message that has been given to him. And he will announce and declare to you the things that are to come that will happen in the future. He will honor and glorify me. This me is Jesus. He will take of, receive, draw upon what is mine, Jesus, and reveal, declare, disclose, transmit it to you. Everything the Father has is mine. That is what I meant when I said the Spirit will take the things that are mine and reveal, declare, disclose, transmit it to you. I just am so aware of we're living so far beneath ourselves. He's got so much more for us. And here we are just trying to deal with the devil on our own, trying to deal with situations on our own. And he's empowered us. And again, I'm not talking about living a perfect life and everything just working out smoothly. No, in this world you're going to have tribulation. But he will lead you by the Spirit of God to victory in every situation. But we've got to cooperate. And prayer, and there's other spiritual disciplines. Prayer's not the only one, but prayer is an important piece. And praying in the Spirit is important. Brother Hagin talks about praying in the Spirit. How it helped him step into his ministry. God's got revelation for you. God's got light. But then he can use us to pray for each other. And then this is what I do when I'm praying. I pray in my known language, pray in unknown language. But when I'm praying in my known language, I'm trying to look inside and not pray from up here, but praying from in my spirit. He'll give you words in your language to speak out. Sometimes it'll be scriptures. Sometimes it has to deal with somebody. Maybe it'll be a face of somebody. Maybe, and it's a lot of times you're praying about things you don't know you're praying about. And unless he reveals it to you, you won't know. It doesn't matter because I'm yielding myself to God. I'm giving myself over to him so he can use me, so his will can be accomplished. And then he might show me things to do. Like that day I told you about the stock thing. He'll show you things to do. He'll reveal scriptures to you. He'll reveal his plan. He'll reveal his next step. He'll reveal how to get out of a jam that you've gotten yourself into. He wants you to know the mysteries. He's for you. He's not against you. And he wants to help you in every area to lead you into victory. Now, we do grow. I mean, I've been praying like this for a lot of years, over 30 years. And I'm still growing and learning. And maybe this is your week, this is your time to start learning how to pray. And stop, and again, we pray for each other, but there comes a time when you need to learn how to pray. And you can. Yes. And you may not be where I'm at, that's okay. You start where you're at. And start to grow in this. He'll teach you, the Spirit of God, he's the teacher. He'll teach you how to pray. But God is going to use you in the earth to bring his will about. God is going to use you in the earth to bear fruit for the kingdom. God is going to use you in this earth to change circumstances and to bring change. God is going to use you to bring God's love on the scene. God is going to use you to bring his peace.